The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello. You're right.
Yeah.
Did you recover from Saturday?
I did.
She did tuck away a bit, listener.
Well, the trouble was...
Yeah.
I blame you.
You blame me, obviously.
Because you mixed my drinks.
I nicked your drink.
Mixed
it. Drinks.
Yeah, because...
Oh, you...
I was...
Oh, no, hold on. You had mixed her drink. She had white Prosecco and pink Prosecco. Exactly. I mean, really.
We all know, most people of a certain age who've had a bit of experience know that the pink is what gives you a little hangover.
Is that right?
The pink is what does it, you know. But there we are, a good time. And you know when I drove home, well, I didn't drive home, your husband did.
Yeah.
We saw a deer on the way back.
Did you?
And I'm wondering...
I like a bit of venison.
Oh, a little haunch.
Yeah.
A little haunch of venison.
Yeah, it goes down well.
For breakfast.
Mm.
We saw it trotting across.
And where?
Well, we went through the back way. I don't really know where we were. I mean, I was, you know...
What's the back way from my house to Whitstable?
It was a very strange way she brought us. Very different to the way that we normally come to yours. Because we normally come across the, you know... I don't know, on the
just
main
straight.
Road.
Yeah, you,
no,
you, just straight down the A28.
No, we snaked through, where was it? Little hamlets. Very, and woods, and very rural.
What were you up to?
Pluckley, we went by.
You went through Pluckley?
Yeah.
You're joking.
That's the way Satnav took us.
And joking.
And I said to the new husband, this isn't the normal way we come. He said,
but it's not even a useful way. It's in fact the opposite direction.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it is the Mercedes, Satnav. We know, we've said this on many a show that the Mercedes, I'd hack it out.
Why don't you just come straight down the A28? It's just one road.
I don't know. It's very odd. But anyway, we went the way the Satnav.
You saw a deer in Pluckley.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it wasn't in Pluckley. It was sort of, you know, around the woods. I'm wondering it was a monk jack because it was quite small.
It could have been, or it could have been a baby deer, or you know,
yeah,
could have been a small fallow deer.
Yeah, I don't know why she took me that way, but I would hack my Mercedes sat nav out of the car if I could get a little drill, and drill it out and then put in waves.
Just use your phone.
Waves. No, because then it slides all about. I don't want to put a phone hole.
Can't you hold it?
Not when you're driving.
No, but he was driving, you weren't driving.
I'm not gonna...
You were snoring, weren't you? You were asleep.
No, I was looking out at the deer.
At the deer.
Which were lovely.
When you went through Pluckley, there's a pub in the centre of the village of Pluckley. Yeah,
Black Lock. Saw that. It was closed, though, sadly.
Yeah, no, but what I'm telling you is it's the most haunted pub in England.
Is it?
Yeah.
Who by? Who haunts it?
Who haunts it? Everyone. Headless coachman.
Really?
Yeah. There's a cavalier.
King Charles Spaniel?
No, a King Charles Cavalier.
Wow.
Yeah, and some maid. There's hundreds of them.
Maid of Orange. Maid of...
Maid of
Orange. Maid in Kent. Oh, well, I must go there.
But it was closed.
It was closed. It was late, but there were some lovely little villages. I didn't... And I said to my new husband...
Yeah, but you didn't need to go through any of them.
No, it's not my fault. It's that silly Mercedes thing. But we were recalled Monday. I spent the whole day in Lookers. You know, I try and avoid Lookers because they're ridiculous. But it's where I bought my car from. And we were recalled for the airbag. And so I trundled...
Yeah, but what about a car?
Yeah, very, very amusing. I was waiting for that. When I heard the snort of horror and derision or delusion.
Can we have the airbag in, please? We need to look at her car.
Derisory snort. I had to get up really early. They always want you to get it there by 8 a.m.
I know, yeah.
It annoys me. I've got dogs to
And then it's
on.
Never ready until 4.
It's never ready till 4. And I don't think they actually take it in till 5 to 4, do you?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Anyway, they want it in by 8, so I sneak in. They do have a nice coffee machine. It's the only decent thing. But when I go back, they phone me, and I'm wandering around Canterbury, because this is my one time not to have to pay for parking, you know. I was like, wow, I don't have to pay for parking. And... So I'm trundling around going in all the shops that I avoid when I'm having to pay £8 because Canterbury Council will make me park, you know, pay to park all the time. So I'm wandering around having fun. And then they phone and said, your car's ready. So I trundled back with the greyhound as well because we can't leave her because she eats everything in the house. And I went up to reception and said, hello, I've come to collect my car, please. There's no charge because it was a recall. And she said, oh, wait over there. And she made me wait in this boiling hot, you know, the sun was shining, it was really hot glass window. Mm. Stop looking at your time.
And, I'm sorry, I was falling asleep.
Yeah. And I waited for 20 minutes.
Wow.
And then I started to get agitated, and she could see me. I was hopping from one foot to the other, and I was hot and, you know, looking at things, bored, rattling my keys, my house keys. So I went up and I said, do they know we're here? And she said, yes. And I said, well, you called me to say it's ready. And, you know, I need to go now. It's 20 minutes. She said, I'm not allowed to give out keys. So she's just sitting on the reception doing nothing, basically. Mm. So I had another cup of tea. And then eventually he rolled out. It was about 25 minutes.
Huh.
This is why I don't like lookers. And I just had it MOT'd and it had all passed. Mm. And then they said they'd had a look at it. It needed 4 new tyres.
Uh-huh.
So they're sharks.
Yeah.
I hope they're not listening.
Well, I hope they are. And funny enough, we got a tweet. I'll come to it later because it's buried on there. From DG East complaining about other car companies and their stupid non-customer service.
Yeah, well, it is bad. So I go to a little local mechanic that we've always taken our Honda CR-V to in Faversham called Auto World, and they're really good. And they give me a courtesy car and stuff. But while I'm on the air talking to you, as I drove in this morning, I always flick radio stations. So I had to listen to Gary Davis, who's taken over from Ken Bruce for a month. And then it's going to be, what's his name, Young Whippersnapper, married to Tess Daly.
I don't know. Don't listen to radio too.
Come on.
Don't
married
listen.
To Tess Daly, who does...
He's
the northern guy. Anyway, he's
anyone.
Thinking of it.
It's just the BBC. Who cares? No one listens.
Anyway, Jeremy Vine was doing a trailer with Gary Davis about 15-minute cities. They're going to be talking about it. And I listened with bated breath, and he said, it's going to be great. Everybody can walk everywhere and da-da-da-da.
He's an idiot.
And he said, there's some people, for some reason, that don't like the idea. And I thought, this is so one-sided. This is before the show even starts.
Yeah.
And he said, so I've just done a tweet because he's blocked me.
I saw your tweet. Yeah.
But also I've done another tweet copying in Canterbury City Council. Did you see that one? Saying that actually they've ruined the high street, because if it's a 15-minute city and you can get everything by walking around, there is no butcher, there is no baker, there is no greengrocer, there's no hardware store, there's nothing that you need for, you know, to be able to walk to. I need to go to get my haunch of venison, my eggs, my cheese, whatever.
We had a tweet from...
Are you going to answer that, though?
I'm just about to take...
Well, you're talking about tweets. I want to know what you think about Jeremy Vine.
If you listened, it would become clear what I'm about to say.
Okay, I'll sip my dandelion.
Yeah, I would.
You tell me.
We've had a tweet from Mr. Rampbottom of Motastic.
Okay.
In fact, we had three tweets talking about 15-minute cities and how it will destroy his business. Because, as he says quite rightly, they service lawnmowers. Are you really going to push a lawnmower all the way to my shop so that you don't go into 15-minute cities?
Exactly.
The whole thing is complete and utter nonsense. Luckily, people, we have local elections coming up.
Yeah.
What I suggest you do is vote for anyone that isn't a mainstream politician, i.e. some local independent, or if they're standing, the monster raving loony party, because they're all far more sensible than day-to-day politicians. And just while we're having a rant about Canterbury City Council, you know that they shut on a whim Neptune Co-working in Herne Bay.
No.
Yeah, and we talked about...
They just opened it.
We talked about it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, why have they shut it?
Because they couldn't afford to run it anymore. So I contacted them and said, I'll run it for you, don't worry. And they went, oh, lovely, thank you. Can you speak to Leo about that? So we emailed Leo saying...
Leo Whitlock.
Yeah, yeah. Saying we would run it. And he went, oh, great, I'll get back to you. Not a thing.
No.
They've shut it, turfed everyone out, and not a thing. They're not interested.
Outrageous. And what have they spent setting that up?
Yeah.
Of our money, yeah?
Local councils and the government hate small businesses with a vengeance.
Yeah.
They don't like small businesses.
They don't want anyone to drive anywhere. They don't want anyone to and honestly, by putting up the parking charges to, you know, as I said the other day, £3, £8 for 3 hours in Canterbury, so that you cannot go into the local shops anyway. There aren't any independent shops left. But, you know, if you go somewhere for a meeting, my meeting was an hour and a half, And then I had to go to the bank and do another thing. So my time was up.
Mm.
So I'm not going to spend any money in a restaurant or a cafe by plugging another £8 in.
What I wanted to ask you, and somebody actually asked you on Twitter when you posted it and you didn't answer, and I was waiting with bated breath for the answer, is you posted a picture of a breakfast you had.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I meant to answer him, and I'll have to...
And everybody was going, that looks wonderful. Where was it?
Well,
and you didn't tell anyone. You're keeping it a secret, aren't you?
I will, yeah, because it's quite hard to get a table. So it's the refectory. You know the refectory in St Dunstan's.
Oh, right, yeah.
So you've got, just on the corner, you've got that greengrocer there, and there's a butcher there, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the refectory. I've been going there for years. It's really, really good. It's independently owned by a man and his brother, and the waitress, or whatever you call them nowadays, you're not allowed to call them waitresses, the server.
The wait person.
the serving person is the wife of the owner, one of the owners. It was great. I have to admit that wasn't all I had. So that was the buttermilk pancakes with maple syrup and crispy bacon and a honeycomb butter. Yeah.
Right. What else did you manage to suck away?
Well, I actually had the Eggs Benedict before that, which was great. And Eggs Benedict, as you know,
how are you not 142 stone?
I don't know.
I only have to look at bacon and my stomach swells.
Bacon isn't really fattening. What would make me fat would be the bread.
Not pancakes, then, with maple syrup.
Well, I'll let you know. I'll weigh myself tonight. But what I do is, you know the Eggs Benedict, because they've got all the Benedicts on there. So they've got Florentine.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. Okay. I'd love him.
Yeah. For breakfast.
I always think he looks like a lion. Am I the only person that thinks Benedict Cumberbatch looks like a lion? You look at him. See, I always think of people as
maybe he's
animals.
A Leo.
He might well be. I always have my ex-husband used to say I had a cartoon brain, but I see things in pictures.
Right.
So I always
cartoon
see
cartoon brain.
Yeah. He said it in a good way.
Of course he did. Yeah.
Everything I see is in pictures.
Was that as you were falling off a mountain and being landed on by a rock?
maybe. but cartoon brain. But I see things in pictures, and I often see people looking like dogs or animals. But anyway, back to there was the Florentine Eggs Benedict, and then the Eggs Benedict that I had came with ham, and I prefer it with crispy bacon. So I said to them, "Do you mind changing? You know, the
you
ham
did a substitution,
bacon?"
Did you?
And they were fine. They were really good, and their cocktails are really good.
So hold on. So you had three lots of bacon for breakfast?
Yeah, but I eat bacon about 5-6 times a week. I'm a carnivore. I'm a blood group O, and I think you are. We should be eating meat, and I've gone off.
I can't eat anything. I just get fat.
Yeah, you could eat meat. You can eat veg. You had those lamb chops Saturday night. They were
Did I get?
But they're not fattening.
But did I get told off about that?
But why? Then you just jog around the garden.
Sarah Marsh Collins has been on, and she says we'll be listening as much as possible today because Intune PR is in the mix with client Ian Wood. And we're looking forward to hearing from them. I'm actually on a train to Bristol to collect my new motor, she says.
Oh, is she?
She says, so I'll catch up any of the bits that I miss on the replay.
That's a long
thank
way to
you, Sarah.
To get your car, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what she's getting.
Mini Cobman, I think.
What?
Mini Cobman.
Oh, how do you know?
Oh, is she?
Mm. You know all this, do you?
I do indeed, yes. That's going to be a new pride of her life.
Mm.
And fit the dots.
Yeah.
A mini clubman, eh?
Yeah.
Is that a half-timbered mini clubman, do you know?
I think there's an absence of timber in this one.
Auntie Edna used to have one of the original in the 60s, the mini clubman. They had all the wood at the back. Do you remember? It was like a little estate. Yeah, they've got quite a big boot, haven't they? Some of them longer.
Yeah.
It's an estate car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of.
My uncle used to have a Rambler, Canadian Rambler. It was huge.
I had a Rambler once.
I
chased him all the way down the road.
Twitter is busy, and I will. And I must find out who that was that tweeted me about the refectory, but I'd have to go back a long way, wouldn't
you? Yeah, you would.
You should have retweeted me.
DG East have been on. They say, hi, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. Please give a shout-out to a vehicle supplier finally delivering some vehicles that have been on order for over 12 months. I feel for you, Terry. I really do. Car companies are getting as bad as everybody else now.
Did you see my tweet to Canterbury City Council about that homeless man that was waiting outside? So I went to another shop closing down, Trespass. However you say it, and there was a man, it was 11:30, and there was a man just lying outside in a, you know, it's crazy, isn't it? I'm not being awful. I am being awful. We've got migrants in the top hotels in Canterbury, our friend Dan San Giuseppe. But we've got a homeless man lying at 11:30 in the morning. I didn't know if he was dead. He hadn't moved.
Did you give him a kick?
No, but I tweeted Porchlight, and I don't know whether they've answered me.
Okay. I'm doing some talks for Porchlight in a week or so's time.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Well, look, there's the picture of the man lying. Oh, yeah. And that was at 11:30.
Blimey.
And you, like I said, you don't know whether he's dead or not.
On that...
Have I depressed you?
On that note, yeah. Steph Young's been on. My favourite Business Bunker show is on the air today with the witty Vanilla Webb, that's me, and the gorgeous Jill Serkin, that's her. I'm tuning in. How about you? Well, thank you, Steph. It's a pleasure to have you join us, and we do greatly appreciate your support.
Where is she?
She doesn't say at the moment. I'm assuming she's back. I was going to say home, but her home could be anywhere as well, couldn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a little meeting coming up. This is the Marsh Breakfast networking meeting. It's at the reasonable time, they say, of 7:45 a.m., so that's even more reasonable than taking your car into the garage at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
It's on Thursday the 30th of March. When is that? I have no idea what the date is.
Thursday.
Is it really?
This Thursday, yeah.
I don't know where that went. Bookings will close at 6 p.m. tomorrow, manana. So please book now, and you can go to www.marshnetwork.co.uk to ensure your place. You can have the best breakfast on the circuit at the lovely Ship Inn in Dimchurch.
Mm.
Which is a great... that was on a four in a bed. It was a winner.
It was, yeah. Yeah.
It's in a great location, and it's got a really good reputation of great food and hospitality.
Mm.
And the focus is on networking, growing contacts, and building relationships. And there'll be an opportunity over breakfast to tell us about your organisation. It's a full English, and if you want any dietary requirements, please email terry@botfield.net after booking to confirm your choice. And there is a little mobile. Shall I read that?
Yeah, go on.
If you want to call Terry, 07749 159 263. And as I said, that's Marsh Breakfast Networking, 7:45 a.m. on Thursday. This Thursday coming. Go there.
Right.
Have fun.
Cool. DG East have tweeted, talking about what you were waffling about earlier.
Waffles?
Yeah, with your car. Why do most large organisations create ridiculous barriers for customers to overcome simple tasks, he asks of Volkswagen? The answer to that, Terry, is all of our big corporations and all of our big organisations, be they government or private, are entirely run by very poorly programmed computer systems, which is why all you ever get is computers say no. And it's getting beyond a joke. There is no such thing as customer service any longer, and there's certainly no common sense in any customer service.
And don't we find that it's the larger garages? You know, that's why I use Auto World and Faversham. They're an independent one run by two brothers.
Yeah, that's what I say. It's big organisations have tried to automate everything, but they never leave any room for the realities of life and how things sneak up on you that don't fit into a computer program. But then the problem becomes that none of their staff are given the responsibility for sorting out customer problems. They just read it off a screen. And if you don't, you know, I've told the story so many times that HSBC, the worst bank in the world, refused to deal with me because I didn't know my own date of birth.
Well, they thought that they knew your date of birth.
Yeah, and they go, no, but that's not the date of birth we got. I know when I was born, I was there.
Yeah. Well, I think your mother was there as well.
I'll get my mum on the phone if you like. She'll tell you.
I know.
And they went, no, but it's not the date we've got. I went, well, one of us is wrong. Who do you think that's likely to be?
Well, I'm going back to 15-minute cities and independent shops because I was saying to our guest, Ian Wood, earlier on, because he loves Whitstable too, and I said, you know, why do visitors come to Whitstable and go to Costa Coffee, which they can get in any town? You know, why don't they come to Whitstable and go to Tea and Times and Samfire?
There's an answer to that.
Farm and Harper and all the amazing little independent...
There's an answer to that.
What is it?
And that's why those chains succeed, is because I once saw a big psychological report written about this. It's because they know what they're going to get.
Yeah. same old coffee.
Yeah, yeah, but if you're going to go into a Starbucks or a Costa or whatever, you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know the menu before you go in there.
Yeah.
If you go into McDonald's, you know what they sell. The problem with independence is you never know what you're going to get and what the quality of it is.
Yeah, but that's not a problem, is it? Because...
Well, it is if you're hungry and you go in and it's horrible.
Yeah, but you see, like yesterday when I went in and I just said, can I have my eggs Benedict without ham, but with your
Crispy
bacon?
Yeah, well, what if you were... Yeah,
she
but
said, of course.
Yeah, but the point is...
That if you be saying that at McDonald's.
The point is, if you walked into a cafe and went, can I have that? And they went, no, sod off.
But they won't. An independent won't.
But,
because it's
but
their
there's
business.
Lots of independent cafes that are rubbish.
Well, they're not in Whitstable. They're all very, very good, aren't they, Ian?
They certainly
yeah.
are.
Now, which one did you try, Ian?
Well, Tea and Times, definitely.
Did you have a cake in Tea and Times?
I did. I think I won their milkshakes as well, which was...
Oh, yeah, the milkshakes. Homemade. Tasty. And do you remember how big the cakes are?
I'll tell you again what the psychological report said.
You can tell me.
Is that people will use chains.
Agree.
People will use chains because they know what they're going to get.
Because they're sheep. We are sheep.
They use chains because they know what they're going to get. You have no idea what you're going to get when you walk into an independent cafe, unless you've been there before
exactly.
or unless someone's recommended it, which is why you have things like TripAdvisor and stuff like that these days.
Mm.
But then the trouble with that is that just because you like somewhere doesn't mean the same that somebody else likes it the same.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Anyway, enough of that, because I want to play some cheesy
All
tunage.
Right, what you got?
Well, you tell me.
A crowd... A guitar. Oh, that's Simon and Garfunkel. Me and Julio down by the school yard.
Yeah, you got it.
Mama pajama rolled out of bed. She ran to the police station. When my papa found out, he began to shout. He started the investigation. And it's against the law. It was against the law. But what the mama saw, it was against the law. Spit on the ground every time my name gets mentioned. When the papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. Taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rosie, see the queen of Corona.
So that was a live version of Down by the Schoolyard. What do you reckon?
I loved it. I noticed
it was a bit different, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I saw them live in Hyde Park a couple of years back.
Were they singing or just taking the dog for a walk?
They were singing.
All right.
And they weren't talking at the time, so there was a different sort of air of frostiness between right. them. Like, they didn't interact on stage, but of course they were amazing, you know. Yeah, it was yeah. lovely to watch them.
Cool. That was Cheesy Tunage in homage to my next guest. So I've got two back-to-back interviews here with Stefano Cuomo of McNaids mm-hmm. and Dave Chowcroft, and both of these gentlemen are voluntary enterprise advisors in schools.
Okay.
Hence down by the schoolyard. Okay. And what they do is they help careers teachers and students look at the world of work and careers they each work with a local school. Mm-hmm. So why don't we hear what they have to say about the work that they do?
Let's hear.
It's an absolute pleasure to be joined this morning by Stefano Cuomo. Stefano, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning.
Would you like to just tell us a little bit about you and what it is you do?
Yeah, by all means. Yes. So, my name's Stefano Cuomo. Not particularly Kentish names, I always start. My father's Italian, son Italian, hence the... at least here on these shores is a fairly interesting name. Go to Italy and every second person is called Stefano. So anyway, but my mother's side were farming family, or were. We no longer farm. My business is McNaid, and it's predominantly based. We have a physical food hall just outside of Faversham. There's various other activities through F&B and grocery retail. And so yeah, we work with, you know, small artisan producers through to larger producers of food and drink products. And never more relevant at the moment, where our shelves are full of tomatoes and cucumbers and all wonderful sort of produce, where, of course, the megaliths that are the supermarkets are struggling to get some sort of supply chain through, sure, underlying yeah. the way of the world and the direction we should be heading, which yeah. is what the next generation want to be getting involved with as well, right?
Cool. So, Stefano, you're an enterprise advisor working with local schools. What inspired you to take up that role?
A gentleman introduced me to a chap called Munya, who got sort of talked to me about the role. And so really it was part of this, actually. This is a really proactive network that's out there identifying businesses that potentially can add value back into the practical educational system. So, and I think that's really what drove it. And from my point of view is, yeah, we're a front facing business. Yeah, we're a shop, we're retailers. So we engage with our community day in, day out. And so we talk about the importance of community to us. Now, that younger generation and the educational piece, particularly around food and drink and subsequent jobs within our sector, often jobs that are misunderstood, they're seen as entry level and not particularly career orientated, as an example.
Yeah.
Just for me, it was really interesting. I think the main point was is the fact that I think, like, as with a lot of businesses, particularly SMEs, we're desperate to get out there and add value back into our communities and often don't know how to do it. And so it was this conversation that came through, it was Paul and then Munya that kind of gave me the chance to see, actually, there's an opportunity for knowing what we've got within the business to be able to try and feed some of that back. I suppose, without wanting to rabbit on too much, one of the other elements had been that we often being in forums where SMEs are all going, oh, students aren't business ready. And it's kind of like, you know, well, what, do you know what business should be making the space to really create the right sort of environment that allows for students at whatever age you are, whatever level they're leaving education, to be able to come into the workplace and feel comfortable to find their space. And I suppose this, again, provides an opportunity. And lastly, the key element, I guess, is the fact that we get really well looked after. So to be perfectly frank, you know, I'm just told where to go, who to turn up with and add some value. So, and that's down to the network that sits behind the EA. So I think that really is a key point with a lot of busy businesses, you know, wanting to get involved, but often unable to find the time or finding reasons not to do it. Actually, there's a whole structure here that in effect picks you up, puts you in the right place and supports you to then be able to provide value that not only you have, but also your broader business has as well.
Okay. But what kind of impact does it have on you? What does the role entail you having to do?
I think it varies. Again, that's a great, what the whole system sort of identifies where your skills are to a certain degree and where you can add value. And so it doesn't kind of push you into an area that perhaps doesn't place your strengths and you might become disenfranchised with. So, you know, for me, I mean, we have quite a varied workplace. As I said, as a food hall, you know, we have entry level jobs on the shop floor at the tills, for example, hugely important from a customer service interaction piece. But we also have, technical skills such as chefs and butchers, through to bookkeepers, accountants and the senior management team. So it is that element of we're very aware that we can illustrate a broad range of opportunities. And there is, you know, there's a very personal satisfaction and hoping that you provided a just a bit of insight to an individual that might be that sort of crack in the door that leads them through into that. So again, yeah, don't want to move away from that. There is that personal sense of achievement in that, but actually it's just that we are looking for jobs for the future, right? We're looking for customers of the future. And that's what the job is allowing me. So I mean, I'll, you know, typically get in touch with I'll spend some time with the careers lead within the school in Sittingbourne, fantastic school. And then I may well go, again, for me, it's a 20-minute drive down the road. So we may meet on their site, or indeed they'll come to our site. We'll talk about what they're looking to achieve, what the touch points are that they need to achieve with regards to fulfilling the careers, strategy of the school. It's sometimes just supporting, recognizing, and again, that's where the business element comes through. I suppose that there are tensions within organizations. So the careers advisors often don't have the full, they don't get the full support, should we say, but what they're doing it's better than it was, but isn't necessarily appreciated in the manner. So we can provide that sort of supportive element of going, actually, you know, what you're doing is bloody brilliant and it's going to make a huge impact. And then I think it's just like anything is that, yeah, we all get siloed in our own spaces and sort of educationalists, for want of a generic term, you know, talk to other educationalists where they're career oriented. So just having someone from a different pop bucket, in effect, saying, do you know what? What you're facing is exactly the same thing as we face as well. And these are the ways we come at it. Or these are opportunities we see. Or do you know what I was talking about? And just having a network. So again, on time wise, it's for me, it's always that you're always learning from peers, right? So there's touch points. I have emails through from Amanda as well. Where they can obviously get involved in careers days as well. So, I mean, there is that element of wanting to give, I'll say, as much or as little as you want to put into it. I mean, you've got to be there proactively feeling you're adding some value. But from my point of view, like all these things, you've got to get something back. And for me, is to have a broadened peer network in an area that I have less knowledge about, I find hugely satisfying, but also it does give an opportunity to promote our sector and, you know, crudely find the next generation of coming through. So
that's great. Thank you so much for that, Stefano. It's an absolute pleasure to speak this morning to David Chalcroft. David, welcome. Thank you for joining us. I'd like to start off by asking you to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay, well, as you said, my name is David Chalcroft. I'm retired now. I was a group head for EDF at Dungeness B Nuclear Power Station, and my last role was head of maintenance.
Okay, so what made you become an enterprise advisor?
Part of my role as head of maintenance, I did all the interviewing for apprentices.
Okay.
So I got a bit frustrated with seeing how ill-prepared young people were. I was interviewing really good young people who really didn't know what to expect.
Right.
So I got talking to someone from the organisation, and he challenged me to do something about it. So I became an EA, and I still do now go around schools and colleges doing interview experience and teaching young people what they're going to walk into.
Okay. So just describe briefly what your role is as an EA and what you think the impact of that is.
The EA, it's multifaceted, because I'd like to do working with students. I like to work with the teachers. It's ensuring that the strategy is in place to ensure that careers is embedded to a correct level in schools, but with a view to our experience in industry, bringing that in and building bridges between schools and industry, so teachers understand what we need, and then we can bridge that over, but then supporting them with delivering training on interviews and many other things as well, or knowing people who can fill the gaps for me.
Cool. Thank you for that, David.
Okay.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome David Chalcroft. David, thank you for joining us this morning. I'd like to start off by just taking us through your career journey and your education background.
Okay, so education background, it was in the days of O-levels and CSEs when I left school. So four O-levels, didn't particularly like school, but I knew I wanted to work with my hands.
Right.
I was always keen on fixing motorbikes and things like that. So I applied for the apprenticeships, got an apprenticeship with a CGB as was then, so power stations. You did a year in training, then chose which trade, and I went to be an industrial electrician.
Okay.
So served my apprenticeship, where I served my apprenticeship at, there was no work, so I had to move. So I moved down to a brand new nuclear power station in Lancashire called Heysham. Got the first electrician job there, and it was fine till I was about 26, 27, and I thought I wanted something more. Right. So I went back to university, got my other qualifications I needed to progress. I knew I needed HMC to get to the level I wanted to, so I went and got that. Then I went through a totally different route. I went through project management. Now, I struggled to see the link when I got the job, when I was offered it, but I was very good at logic in the electric side, fixing control faults and things like that. It's pure logic. Then going into planning side is actually pure logic. So I started to see the comparisons. So the point is, your apprenticeship doesn't define what you become.
Right.
So I eventually became lead outage planner. So an outage in power station talk is when you shut a power station down and overhaul it. So nuclear power stations, obviously very complicated. Became lead planner at Heysham, then I applied for the outage manager's role down in Kent at Dungeness, and I got that, and that's group head level. Then group heads, you routinely moved. Okay. You left in post for usually about 3 or 4 years. I did 8 years as outage manager. Then I moved through other roles, head of technical training, and eventually into maintenance.
Cool. And one of your roles I happen to know, because we spoke about this earlier, it was helping on the apprenticeship side.
Yeah, as head of maintenance, so we would do all the selection process and we'd interview 40 young people for apprenticeships over a week. But that was a day of aptitude tests and everything else. But my role in that was to lead the team, but I did the interviewing. Uh-huh. And it was becoming frustrating seeing really good young people who just were totally ill-prepared for the process you're about to come through.
Okay.
So at that point is when I took on the EA role, after talking to someone, to go into schools and actually teach about interview experience. This is what you need to consider and do. And I was doing it last week at Ashford College.
Fantastic. So, in your opinion, Dave, what skills are employers looking for and what skills are in short supply?
From my sort of sector, people who are really genuinely interested in using the hands. Because I interviewed a lot of people. I did it last week with engineers who didn't really know why they wanted to do it.
Right.
So understand if you're applying for a course, understand what it does for you. But there is a massive skill shortage. And if you can get a good apprenticeship, you will never, ever be unemployed. The shortage is that severe. And that's worldwide. I know a lot of people I serve my apprenticeship with who live all over the world.
Right. Okay, cool. So within the sector that you worked in, and this is going to be a leading question because the energy sector is front and center for most things at the moment. So what's the future look like, Dave? That's a leading question, isn't it?
It is. It's very interesting. It's an utterly different landscape now than it was when I started. Because coal was king when I started. I served my apprenticeship in a massive coal-fired power station.
Right.
Gone forever. Renewables is the absolute way forward. Has to be.
Yeah.
Makes total sense. The problem with renewables is you don't know the wind's going to blow and the sun's going to shine.
Sure.
So you have to have base load capability on the grid. So that's where nuclear comes in.
Yeah.
Because it's still zero carbon.
Yeah.
So there is issues. People have their own views on it. But from the low carbon energy side, it's a very, very good way of generating massive amounts of power. So two new stations, one being built at the moment at Hinkley Point, you're looking at £20 to £25 billion worth of investment for one power station.
Yeah.
Sizewell C in Suffolk, that's getting the go-ahead now, so that'll start as well. I think they'll have to build at least two or three more to give you that capability, not to be totally reliant, but wind turbines, offshore, onshore, all them skills need now to be developed.
Absolutely. Do you see there's a role for small modular reactors?
They're certainly developing them. It'll be interesting to see how they deploy them. But, yeah they're basically submarine reactors that they're going to build, then just attach turbines to them. Yeah. Fantastic, because you can take them to the point where you need the power.
Yeah.
So, that's a very good point. I think small modular reactors definitely have a role to play as well.
Okay.
Because of the sheer cost of building big nuclear power stations.
Yeah. I mean, stating the obvious, obviously, but what roles do you think will disappear from that sector? I mean, obviously, things like coal power stations are being closed down, but in general, do you see a change in the employment atmosphere?
Yes. Because, go back 10 years, it was probably double the number of power stations. So the contract workforce was massive. So if you wanted turbine specialists, pump specialists, you just went out and got them. Because the numbers of power stations are shrinking, there isn't now the business to keep that support function going 365 days a year. So that side of it is getting very tricky to manage now.
Right.
So your support functions aren't as good as they used to be. So there'd be more in-house specialist groups, I think.
Okay. Cool. So what would you say labour market information would be important now to young people looking to enter the jobs market?
I think it's really important, one, to give you an idea of what's out there. Most 16-year-olds, in fairness, don't really know what's out there. And until you start working in a company, you don't know what the company's going to offer.
Right.
Well, that's really important. So you can decide what sort of sector you want to go to. And for example, EDF apprentices, their first 2 years was in the southwest at Hinckley. That's where you do your first 2 years of your apprenticeship. Are you prepared to move? Are you going to look elsewhere for work? And you need to know what the overall picture across the country looks like.
Okay.
So it's to get that detailed information. Then you can look at supporting as well. If they know what they want, which routes they want to go down, you can look at getting supporting to help them.
Cool. So what are the best bits about your role now?
The bits I enjoyed most, to be honest, like I say, I employed all the apprentices, but even like the technicians, there's an absolute requirement to keep training people. And I used to love spotting people I thought had talent and watching that and supporting it and seeing them develop. And one of the people I really thought was good actually took over from me when I finished working. And watching people develop and helping them along that journey for me was incredibly satisfying.
Absolutely. Cool.
And even more so, just as a point, is to bring the amount of women we try to bring in through the apprenticeship route. We had a rule that I wanted 50% of my apprentices to be female. So just to make it really get that balance across the workforce, I think that's really important.
Yeah. And lastly, Dave, what tips would you give to people thinking about becoming an enterprise advisor?
I think it's quite difficult at times with schools. So talk to people, use your support networks very well, and then but engage when there's networking evenings and things put on, because your network is where you're going to get support from, as well as the professionals. And when you need, can someone help me and deliver me this, please? And then so I got something put on by Border Force at a school I work with because I met them doing something else. Building that network's fundamental.
Okay. I did say it was my last question, but I've got one more question for you that I want to throw in. How is supporting the pupil referral units that you're an EA with? How's that going?
It's very interesting. It was one of those that I took, that I got Border Force to go into, walking in uniform that does look like a police uniform. I thought this will be interesting. And they were fantastic. They really bought into it, really good. And then the guys learned a lot. You can start an apprenticeship with Border Force on 2 GCSEs.
Hmm.
And then the engagement was fantastic in the end. So it's more challenging, definitely.
Right.
But you still get the same reward when you see lights being switched on. So, you've got to be in for the challenge, and you know sort of why pupils are in referral units quite often. But be prepared for that. But it's still the same benefit. If you can turn one life round or help to redirect somebody who's maybe going off rails, might be not the correct way of wording it, it's very, very satisfying.
Cool. Dave Chalcroft, Enterprise Advisor, thank you so much for that.
Pleasure.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors. can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Construction businesses, we're celebrating the very best projects, people, innovations and businesses in construction. Could this be you? Winning a war can help you open doors to contracts, find new supply channels and break into new markets. Each winner will receive a beautifully engraved trophy along with a total prize package worth over £1,000. Enter the Southeast Construction Awards now at constructionexpoawards.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Oh, so we heard from Stefano and Dave there, enterprise advisors in local schools, helping young people decide on their career paths and helping careers teachers in schools find out about the world of work. Interesting stuff. And just so that you know, the 3030 program, program we're involved in, that's a free careers program for schools. Our next one is this Thursday at the King Ethelbert School in Margate. And then coming up in May, we've got two. We're at the Y School in Ashford and Walderslade School in Chatham.
And just to let you know, I saw my friend Serenity Becker. She's on the Twitter at Serenity Becker. She owns three beauty salons, one in Swalecliffe, Whitstable, one in Faversham and one in Broadstairs. And she's looking to take on staff, qualified beauty therapists, but also apprentices as well.
Sweet.
And as you know, she teaches at college in Whitstable, beauty therapists, year two, I think.
Right.
And she's saying a lot of them are suffering with anxiety. It's a big thing at the moment, young people. Very anxious.
Well, absolutely.
In tears, you know. If they have to take a test or an exam. So it's a real shame, isn't it, that what's happening to our young people after lockdowns and things.
Well, due to lockdown.
I think so, yeah.
Well, when you terrify the population, that's what tends to happen, really,
especially
isn't it?
Especially if you're at school and suddenly you're told you can't go to school and you start staying in. I was hearing, actually, there's a big gaming problem. Did you hear that? Addiction.
Right.
Where young men, mostly, are not leaving their gaming stations. I don't know anything about gaming stations. But they're literally not even going to the toilet. They're having a bucket in their room, and the parents cannot get them out of the room. They're so addicted.
Well, that's worth knowing.
Yeah. So there's a big program. There's an NHS clinic for gaming.
Well, it's an
addiction.
Easy way to deal with that.
Take the computer away.
Well, turn the internet off.
Yeah, well, take the computer away.
Well, but you'd have to go in their room to do that.
Well, I'm sure you're allowed in.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go in there, not with a bucket in there.
Well, I know when my kids, going back to before mobile phones, my kids used to watch a lot of telly. And I think I've told you this before, we used to take the telly away every summer, just put it in a cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it from May till October.
Mm.
And the first week they squawked, and after that they just went out to play and never watched telly. It was great. So that was the best thing we ever did as parents.
Fascist. Right.
steps. I'm doing a goose step now.
Yeah, yeah. The Tenterton Chamber have tweeted, "Hi, Vanilla Web and Jewel Sirkin. Please, can you give a shout out to a busy Chamber of Commerce team?" Of course we do. We're members of the Tenterton Chamber here at the Business Monkey Show as well, and we thoroughly enjoy it.
Steps to transform a stretch of shoreline by adding more than 100 beach huts and creating a water sports
centre. Oh, you like a beach hut, don't you?
I do. I like a water sport and I like a beach hut. Mm. They have taken a step forward. The proposal to overhaul the coastline at Greatstone on the Romney Marsh was announced in 2021, with Folkestone and Hythe District Council revealing they want to make it a tourist destination. So, that sounds very nice. Greatstone is, I guess, a pebble beach.
Oh, no, a sandy beach.
Is it? Yeah, Why is it called Greatstone, then? That's odd.
Because it's not little stone.
Yeah, but what's the stone bit if it's not pebbles? Have they got rocks there?
Well, Maidstone hasn't got any rocks or pebbles either.
I know.
And nor is Wealdstone.
Why isn't it called Great Beach or Great Sand or Great... It's strange.
I don't know why
they
call it Great Stone.
There's got to be a stone there.
Why is it? Has there got to be a stone in Maidstone?
Maybe it's an old Elizabethan word, like ingot stone. It must mean something, mustn't it?
Stone. Yeah, stone.
Yeah. So there must be a stone there.
It's probably... Yeah, anyway, whatever.
Is it a nice beach?
Yeah, it is actually a very nice beach. Once upon a time, Great Stone was touted as being the playground of the rich and the famous in the 17th century. A bit like Brighton became.
So did they go there by horse and cart?
They didn't drive, did they?
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
So what transport is there? Is there a Romney Marsh station?
In terms of railway station?
Yeah.
New Romney, yeah.
And can they get there from Victoria or
I don't know.
Pancras? Or
I don't know.
If anybody's listening, do tweet us, because, you know, I don't know. I used to drive to Romney Marsh.
Yeah. Well, Lydd station burnt down, didn't it?
Yeah.
Chips and Dinks have been on. They're live on air. It's party time. Jules and Vanilla Web. Hold on. That's the wrong way round.
Yeah, no, it's always the right way round for me.
That's Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks, and thank you for that. And they've got a wonderful GIF. I don't look like that at all. The lady in the GIF looks like you, but the bloke doesn't look like me.
I'll have to have a look.
I haven't
got
a beard for a start.
I'll have to look at that.
Or a top knot.
Somebody's replying to my tweets about 15 Minute Cities, and he says, I miss Canterbury, grew up there, and Whitstable. So sad that there is no longer the lovely city I remember.
Yeah. Okay, Carrara Food and Bombay Cooks, the lovely Mr. Paul Barbara, is celebrating the Sikh New Year on April the 14th at a Westgate Hall, Canterbury, from 6:45 until 10:15. Do get along there. His food is to die for.
Yeah.
You can find out all about it and book your place by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
Did you see my tweet? There was a lovely artist that she does drawings of whimsical sight hounds. I copied you in one because we had some little pink doggy collar people on, didn't we?
We did,
a few things ago, and my lovely Darcy, my greyhound, is modelling the collar now. So this is Elle Wilson. She's on Twitter, almost an angel 66, and she's a brilliant. She's in Reigate, that's Surrey, isn't it? She's on Etsy.com UK shop, almost something or other. I have to go on that link. It's almost an angel 66 on Etsy. So you can go on there and buy her whimsical. They're absolutely beautiful art drawings of sighthounds in various, and they're in beach huts, some of them I've seen.
Really?
Yeah, she does look.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Look, Darren.
Yeah. What's the difference between a sighthound and a greyhound then?
Well, they're all sighthounds. So,
are they whippets?
Yeah, things that even a border collie is a sighthound, so they're ones that can see in the distance, and they'll
walk around like that with one paw over their eyes. Yeah,
exactly.
I see no ships.
That works on radio, doesn't it?
I like a whippet.
Why do you like a whippet? Why do you like a whippet?
Because they're smaller than greyhounds.
Yeah. Okay, they're very good at getting rats. They're rat catchers.
My
Darcy has caught two rats.
The whole ensemble of a whippet owner, which is flat cap and clogs, is the thing that really gets me going with it. Yeah.
I'm not sure the clogs go, because clogs are Dutch. That'd be more a Dutch hound.
Well, the problem there is that the rats would hear them coming.
Yeah, in the clogs. Yeah. Unless they're Crocs, because they're rubber.
Oh, yeah, rubber quiet.
Yeah, but you know my new husband...
But then they'd squeak.
Yeah, they would. They do. They can squelch.
The rats and the dogs catching them squeaking.
Well, you know, Ian, my new husband left his Crocs on Whitstable Beach, Tankerton, to go windsurfing. And when he got back, somebody had stolen them.
Mm-hmm.
And he had
They're in high demand.
He had to walk home barefoot all the way. He was furious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not good, is it?
Can you imagine? In the old days, you could leave anything anywhere. You can't even leave a pair of Crocs on the beach.
Yeah.
They're not even real Crocs. They're like £6 at George's Minimart.
They're going to be absolutely gutted when they find out, aren't they?
I know. Do you remember George's Minimart in Whitstable as well? That's a very good shop.
I think I do, yes.
You'll have to come back.
Yeah. I'll be down soon, I promise.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have cocktails.
Sounds like a plan.
Steps. Oh, I've read that.
Right, I'm going to read one.
Oh, go on.
Yeah. The next meeting of the Marsh Network East Sussex at Pet Village Hall is on the Tuesday the 4th of April. At 10:30 a.m. and you can book now by going to marshnetwork.co.uk. The meeting is co-sponsored by the Federation of Small Business as one of their face-to-face networking events, and we thank them for their support. The meeting is all about networking with plenty of time for face-to-face discussion to build relationships. So come along, grow your contacts, network, and network your business and have a cup of coffee. The speakers at next week's event is Celia Heritage from Mind Pebble.
Mind Pebble?
Yeah, more stones.
Oh, okay. I see what you did then.
Yeah. If you want to find out about it, www.marshnetwork.co.uk.
And given its remote location, the Britannia Inn doesn't seem the most likely destination for the likes of Ed Sheeran to drop in for a drink, but the pub in Dungeness has become quite the celebrity hotspot. Richard Davies has been the licensee for 6 years and says that during his time at the establishment, he's seen Grammy Award-winning artists, BAFTA-nominated actors, and footballers rock up and enjoy a pint. In fact, they get so many celebrities that Richard and the staff even have a no-selfies rule, something he believes helps attract big names to the tavern. In the past, we've had Peter Andre, Suggs lives in Whitstable,
yeah,
near me, Christopher Eccleston, Lee Ryan, I know that name, I can't think who he is. Obviously, Mickey Flanagan has done some good promo work here too.
Was he out?
Was he out?
With all he was
the chicken.
Out on Dungeness.
All the chicken.
Yeah.
I need to go down there.
Ed Sheeran bought a train carriage there for £650,000. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but he's got a huge estate, hasn't he?
I don't know.
He's got loads of grounds, yeah, and he's buying all that.
Anyway, he bought one of the railway carriages that are on Dungeness.
Did he?
Yeah.
Ian Wood would know about Ed Sheeran's estate.
Do you know Dungeness is the only desert in Europe?
It doesn't seem desertish. I mean, it's
a desert. It's classified as a desert.
Really?
Mm.
We get a lot of rain down here now. Deserts
don't have to be dry. They don't have to feel sand.
It's definitely not dry.
No.
I mean, I wear my wellies every day now.
Yeah.
Doesn't it rain every day, Darren?
Not every day. Didn't rain this morning.
Yeah, it's raining now. I've got my wet umbrella in my bag here.
Have you?
You read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
No.
There's a rain god in there, a truck driver who all the clouds love him and they follow him everywhere. When scientists realise he becomes a celebrity and people pay him large amounts of money to go to deserts and tourist places to put prices up.
Oh, really? Mm. A rain maker, is he?
Rain god.
A rain god?
Rain god, yes.
Is he real?
Of course he is.
Yeah, I think he's in my garden because every time I put the washing out, it rains.
Yeah,
it takes a long time to put the washing out, and then you have to get it all in again.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm wondering if you might be one yourself, the rain goddess.
Oh, maybe. Mm. I know. But I don't want to be. I'd rather be a sunshine goddess. Mm. And we will have a hosepipe dam again this year because South East Water just let it all go through the ground.
The Seven Oaks Chamber are asking us to join them on the 5th of April for their first Wednesday networking. It's hosted at The Nest. Hannah, Amanda and the team look forward to welcoming Chamber members and guests to their beautiful space, and they will be giving each attendee a special gift.
What will it be?
Well, I don't know. You'll have to go to find out, won't you?
Oh.
If you want to find out, if you want to book your place, kempersisradio.co.uk/calendar, where the details can be found.
Well, let's all go there. Many people are still suffering from the long-term effects of COVID and other viruses. There's a lot of flu around at the moment, this strange flu, and don't quite know how to get their mojo back. Help is on hand in the most beautiful of settings, Tillingham Wines, Paul Andrews.
Wow.
With two experts, Sonia Coleman of Rye Nutritional Health and Kalia Butcher from Sank Yoga. Oh, I'm not sure where the wine comes in. Because that sounds like a vineyard. I thought they were going to do wine tasting to get your mojo back.
Oh, well, they probably bought it with them, didn't they?
Well, it seems like it's nutritional health and Sankport Yoga. Anyway, it's on Thursday, March the 30th, so it's in 2 days. You can go to New Leaf, so as changing a new leaf or turning over a new leaf, -wellness.co.uk, put a little /events-1. So that sounds really, really good.
Talking of which, my other half, Amanda, is, as we speak, sampling wine at Gusbourne.
Oh, I love Gusbourne.
Yeah.
Little duck on the glass. Mm. Is it a goose? I'm never quite sure. Yeah, Gusbourne's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Very pleasant.
Yeah.
What's she doing? A party?
No. She's going for work. She works in events at Leeds Castle.
Oh, it sounds like
and
lovely.
Gusbourne are one of their suppliers, so they're introducing them to their latest vintage, I think.
We're very, very lucky in Kent to have some of the best wines growing.
Yeah.
Lots of super talented artists and crafters.
Grafters. Grifters.
I went all northern as well. Then.
You went all northern. I was talking about grafters, whippets, wasn't it?
And not clogs. So, talented artists and crafters in and around Rye. You have to be careful how you say that, don't you?
Yeah.
We feel the need, they say, to create a regular space to sell and showcase their work. Our first Rye Arts and Crafts Fair will be on Saturday, April the 1st, not April Fools, I hope, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Rye Community Centre. And the stall had amazing response, they say. Indeed, all tables were taken within a week. Should footfall on the day be good, we will organise a further two this year in late July and early December. Fabulous mix of media, from illustrators to writers, stained glass, to ceramics, woodwork to knitting, something for everyone, I'm sure. So that's Rye Arts and Crafts Fair, Saturday, April the 1st at Rye Community Centre.
Fine, thank you for that. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to, Mr. Ian Wood, and we're going to have some chatting with Darren Wheel, who's also in the studio with us. Let's go to the newsroom.
Let's find what's happening.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Channel Radio News Update.
Rail passengers are being warned to